Rising Voices. Real World Radio's live show. Welcome to Rising Voices. Today's Thursday, the 17th of December, and I'm joined here in the studio by Mercedes. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, hello everyone.
Well, and today we are going to have a wrap-up of the COP15 on climate change that is taking place in Copenhagen, Denmark. And for that we have a live conference call with Jose Losegui. He's our correspondent in Copenhagen. Hello, Jose, how are you? Can you hear us?
Hello, Mercedes, and my hello also to everybody there in the studio. I don't know if there is Leo or David. I hope you are all fine. Actually, Mercedes, talking about what happened yesterday with the Friends of the Earth International delegation was that when they came into the Bella Center, then were led to come into. Nobody understood what was happening, why they didn't come into the Bella Center and take part of the different activities that happened in the official negotiations. And then the rest of all the people from Friends of the Earth International starting to get together there in the Bella Center without the opportunity to get into, until one of us was the representative, until the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, trying to know what was happening. One of the chief of the UNFCCC, Ivo de Boer, explained that there was a danger of having fires inside the Bella Center, that it was something that was it was worrying for the people in charge of the security inside the Bella Center, that this was the explanation. Of course, it was a lie. It was not believed by the Friends of the Earth International delegation, and another explanation said also that it was because of the arrival of the world leaders. But the thing is that nobody from Friends of the Earth could get into. The real thing is also that the other people from other NGOs are not coming into also, because the number of people who are let to come into the Bella Center is every time is less and less. In the last day, tomorrow, on Friday, it is what the information that Real World Radio has is that only 9 people from NGOs can have the opportunity to get into the Bella Center. This is what we know about what happened yesterday. The Friends of the Earth International delegation did a demonstration. They sat down in the floor in a kind of protest. About what happened on Saturday, we know that on Saturday there was the Global Day of Action for Climate Justice. There was a demonstration with 100,000 people in the street. Most of the people here says that it has been the biggest demonstrations all over the world about climate change issues. And the people arrested this day is several hundreds of people. there are some numbers which talk about 900, others who say, which say 500. The thing is that these people was let down in the floor. Most of the people arrested, they had to see, to hit the floor and stay there for almost 4 hours with their hands, without the possibility of moving their hands. They were arrested and sitting down in the street for 4 hours. Then they were taken to a bus, and in the bus they waited until midnight, which was the hour when some of them were let go and were freed. But some other people still was in prison until Sunday. That's what we know.
Okay, so that's about the police repression that, well, we had heard it was quite brutal. And but coming back to the negotiations, we've heard the African group walked out yesterday from the negotiations. Can you tell us what happened and why this happened?
Yeah, what happened one day with the African group is that they did a great speech, a big speech in which they said that they cannot accept that Annex One countries, the industrialized countries, try to kill the protocol. So the African group did that speech, and they said it was impossible for Africa not having the Kyoto Protocol commitments. We must remember that the Kyoto Protocol only has a legally binding emission reductions for the industrialized countries. They must also get the funds to the developing countries, to the for the mitigation and adaptation in their countries. The industrialized countries must give the technology or do the technology transfer so the developing world can develop in another manner with another pattern in a clean way. So the African group said we can't be without the Kyoto Protocol. You are trying to give the Kyoto Protocol, and they stood up and they came out, and the negotiations were stopped for a couple of hours. That was what happened really, and that was the worry of the African group.
So what happens next? What is the position of the other developing countries? I mean, what happens before the negotiations end?
The developing countries, as you know, are part of the what is called the G77 plus China, which actually united 136 countries, China. There are important positions inside there, but different. We must say that there are some differences inside the G77, but the G77 is united in the most important things, which are the funds of the Annex One countries for mitigation and adaptation in the south, the technology transfer they had to do, and the gases reductions, the emission reductions they must do under the Kyoto Protocol. They are all agree according to that. I would say that the ALBA, this group of South American countries, the Bolivarian alternative of the countries, the Bolivarian alternative alliance, which belongs to Venezuela, Cuba, Ecuador, and other countries, they have had good positions. Mainly, we should mention Bolivia, which is talking including about climate debt. But as I said before, they are demanding the payment of the climate debt. That's about Bolivia exactly. But all the G77 together demands that the Annex One country reduce their emissions. Reduce their emissions. They say also that they must pay for the adaptation and mitigation works in the Global South, and they also have to do the technology transfer so the Global South can develop in a clean way. That's the most important positions of the G77 countries.
And so, well, the negotiations end tomorrow. Will there be any demonstrations? What can we expect in terms of an agreement?
I think there can be yet some demonstrations. Actually, at this moment, there has been a demonstration against the repression of the policemen here. We must say that yesterday, in the activity, in a demonstration that yesterday, 253 people were arrested. So there is a demonstration now at this moment against the police repression, against the brutality that they have been acting until the moment. I think that there can be more demonstrations yet, in spite of the end of the negotiations tomorrow. I am not really sure if the negotiations are ending tomorrow. I think that it can take one more day, maybe two more days here. And Friends of the Earth International is organizing some demonstrations. There are been some talks with La Via Campesina, with the World March of Women, with Climate Justice Now, even with Climate Justice Action. There are different networks. So I think that there can be some demonstrations yet. In terms of an agreement, I am not really very optimistic in referring to that. The Annex One countries, beginning with the Danish presidency, are trying to have a new agreement, an agreement which also could have legally binding determinations to the developing world. So I'm not sure what's happening at the end. But they are trying to kill the Kyoto Protocol. They are trying to have an agreement which also has legally binding decisions to the developing world. There are texts which are being discussed until the moment, and they are changing all time, so it is very difficult to know what will be happening. And I would say that instead of having a really, really bad deal, most of the social movements and social organizations here prefer that nothing happens and we can still working together until for the next months, until the next COP, which will be held in Mexico.
Well, thank you very much, Jose.
Thank you, Mercedes. Thank you to the people which is working there. It was my pleasure to try to answer the questions that you have been doing. So to the people who is visiting your World Radio, thank you very much.
Well, thanks very much. Goodbye. Well, that was Jose Losegui. He was reporting directly from the Klima Forum in Copenhagen. And, well, some of the things he was telling us about we had heard already, but it's better to have like a first a direct report from there. I think one of the most concerning things in terms of the social movements have been the brutal repressions, the brutal police repressions, how they have treated the people or mistreated the people who were demonstrating, how many people were arrested. They were left there in the cold weather for hours. I mean, it's something that, well, at least for me, I found it quite unexpected. And now, well, there will be demonstrations against this the police repression. Well, also about the negotiations, there were different things happened. There is, of course, a strong divide between the North, the Global North, and the Global South. And as he was explaining, the African countries walked out of the negotiations. The U.S. is still pushing for a lower target, a lower reduction of emissions. And so it's trying to find some allies to try to achieve that.
And also the position of the ALBA countries, especially Bolivia. I think it was yesterday that Evo Morales said that the target that should be 1 degree the temperature rise. And what the industrialized countries were saying, or especially with the Danish text that we commented on last week, they said that they should keep it below 2 degrees, which in, well, Evo Morales was saying that that would cause a holocaust or a catastrophe in the African countries or the island countries, which would cease to exist because of floods and...
Yeah, exactly. Actually, well, the island countries are the, well, what is called the island nations, it's are the most threatened by climate change, because they could cease to exist. Their islands could be wiped out just by one hurricane flood. So what that is one of the most urgent things, but also, well, I was reading today the words of the Archbishop of South Africa, Desmond Tutu. He is a Nobel Peace Prize winner, and well, he was being quoted in Amy Goodman's column, and he was saying about climate change. Is actually nobody is going to get out there alive. I mean, it's not that the rich will be saved. It's quite the opposite. I mean, it's like everyone is threatened by this. It's, well, maybe your country. Well, there are countries that where I don't know, floods will come later, or you know. But actually, it's either droughts or floods. But everything is going to affect everyone. So I'm not sure what they're where they are aiming for by trying to avoid this binding commitments to reduce their emissions. It seems that it again the negotiations have come to a standstill. So well, tomorrow is the final day. We have to wait and see if there is an agreement. Doesn't seem very likely. And what Jose was saying, the social organizations are saying no deal is better than a bad deal. So they won't. And also the developing countries, the G77, is saying the same. So it doesn't seem likely that there will be an agreement, but we'll. I think it will be interesting to see the final declaration of the movements. And as Joe Zakun was saying last week, we interviewed him here live, he was mentioning, well, he's a coordinator of climate for Friends of the Earth International, and he was saying, well, what can come from all this is that social movements will be stronger. So, well, it's not all in vain, but... in terms of a deal, I don't think that's anything is going to happen there. Well, we are going to listen to a song now, and we'll be back with more of the stories. We have an update of Copenhagen and the UN climate negotiations.
Exaltation to you. You can run it.
Rising Voices. Rising Voices. Rising Voices. Rising Voices. Real World Radio's live show. That was Teenage Riot by Sonic Youth. And now, while talking about climate change and the COP15, we would like to have like a different view that's not only related with climate change, but also how trade is related with this problem with climate change. And for that, our correspondent in Copenhagen, Jose, interviewed Ronnie Hall. She is from the Global Forest Coalition, and she was participating in the COP. And she explained us a little bit, well, first of all, the links between trade and climate change, and also, well, what they expect from the COP. She also talked a little bit about RED. So we will listen to what Ronnie was telling us.
Well, in fact, there are very many points that unite the subject of trade and climate change. And a key one, of course, is that the whole trade liberalization process is designed to increase trade. And that includes in fossil fuel sectors like oil, in energy intensive sectors like mining, and in the timber sector as well, which obviously is very important for climate change. But two other really important points is that the whole trade liberalization process tends to impoverish countries and peoples that are already poor, and that makes them more vulnerable to climate change and less able to cope with it. And a third absolutely critical point is that the trade rules that exist at the moment actually take priority over anything that governments do on climate change at the international level and at the national level, and it's stopping governments using really effective measures to stop climate change. There is a possibility, but I don't think it's very likely, that governments could decide to review the World Trade Organization in terms of climate change, because they are saying that they want to look at the role and remit of the World Trade Organization. But I haven't seen any signal at all that they're planning to put trade as a second priority and climate change as the most important thing that we've got to deal with now.
Well, there was Ronnie explaining a little bit, well, how trade liberalization impoverishes the countries, and the peoples that are already vulnerable become even more vulnerable to climate change. Next, she's going to explain a little bit what she thinks, what should happen. She thinks there should be a change in the economic paradigm in order to tackle climate change.
One particular factor is that the European Union has a trade policy called Global Europe, which probably reflects trade policies in other industrialized countries as well, where their main concern is to access cheap and secure supplies of natural resources for their manufacturing industries. So it's really a key part of the Doha round of negotiations, absolutely critical that they are not only not finished but stopped. Well, the problem with the negotiations on reducing emissions from deforestation and degradation is that the way that it's being framed by a lot of governments at the moment is will lead to the establishment of a process that works for business and works within the current economic model and could actually benefit those companies and countries that are really part of the climate change problem at the moment. So, for example, in the RED negotiations, some governments absolutely refuse to have any mention of indigenous people's rights. They insist that plantations are included in RED, which means funding can go to logging companies. And there is also an insistence by many, now unfortunately including Brazil, that RED be funded using carbon markets. And this is also problematic because it's effectively privatising forest resources, the last sort of communally owned property in the world, and handing forests over to the market. So there are really many problems with it, even though a lot of people think RED could be a good thing. But there's really so many people here in Copenhagen, thousands and thousands and thousands of people talking together inside the Bella Center where the governments are, at the Clima Forum where we are at the moment. And I think over the last 10 or 15 years, you know, there's a growing movement that's really talking about changing the economic paradigm, about dealing with ecological debt, about resolving climate change in a way that is fair and equitable and is based on climate justice. And I think, you know, that's really becoming a very cohesive movement. And you can see in governments, in Latin America especially, people are slowly beginning to change their governments. So there's a tiny light on the horizon, but it's a rather a long way away at the moment.
That was Ronnie Hall. Well, finally she was explaining, this change of paradigm, of the economic paradigm that's needed. She mentioned, for instance, Global Europe, that's a new policy of the European Union, through which, well, basically what they want is to find, to have open markets from the south so that they can exploit the resources in those countries for the consumption in the north. And this whole system is one of the things that leads to climate change, that idea of the exploitation of the south and the overconsumption in the north. So there's a need to change this model.
Precisely, one of the messages that is claimed is a system change, not climate change.
Exactly. That was one of the slogans in the big march that happened on Saturday. And now we will comment a little bit about that. Jose, our correspondent in Copenhagen, was telling us a little bit about how this big demonstration had taken place. From what I've heard, I think Friends of the Earth brought more or less 5,000 people.
5,000.
Yeah, a lot of people, actually. And in total, there were nearly
100,000.
Yeah, well, shocking figure. Mm-hmm. I saw some pictures. Well, you can also go to our website. And, well, there's, of course, a full coverage of the COP. And you can see some of the pictures of this march and also some videos that we have posted there. Mm-hmm. And you can also go to the foi.org website.
Yeah, it was really amazing to see 5,000 people all in blue raincoats marching and carrying flags, asking for climate justice. Also, Nimmo Basse, the chair of Friends of the Earth International, gave like a very warming speech to the crowd, and it was really moving to see all those people together fighting for the same cause. And then the flood, those 5,000 people join the march that was going to the Bella Center, and they were like 100,000 people.
Yeah, that was quite massive. Actually, besides Nimmo Basse, the chair of Friends of the Earth, also Henry Saragi from La Via Campesina, and Amparo Misiano from the World March of Women spoke. They addressed the public in this huge demonstration. I think in the main march there was Vandana Shiva. She's an Indian activist, and she was saying that, well, one of the things she claims is that the U.S. should stop seeing itself as a donor, because the U.S. Climate representative in Copenhagen said something about, well, the U.S. is going to contribute to fund the adaptation and mitigation, but like we don't have endless funds to give to this to the developing countries. And she was saying, well, the attitude should not be that you are donating us something, but you have a climate debt, so you should pay. And you have this ecological debt to these countries. So I think, well, very big figures, important people were there. But, well, the good thing was how many people turned out. And also, well, in this terrible cold weather, they said it was a very cold day, Saturday. Well, the bad thing was, of course, that there were many people arrested, and that, well, some were left there in the street in the cold weather for several hours. I guess the police repression is what stands out from all this, from the COP and, well, from all the demonstrations. But I think, well, I guess the idea is that Denmark has prepared for this COP for more than a year, maybe, and, well, they were willing to repress. They say that this security operation was most expensive in the country's history. I hope that, well, today there and tomorrow there's going to be a march And well, actually today there's going to be a march against the brutal repression of the police, so we'll see, we'll have reports on that tomorrow. And well, also about something that's related to the COP, is that there was this award that was organized by several organizations. One was Friends of the Earth, there was also a Corporate Europe Observatory, Attack Denmark, and I don't know if there were others, but basically those three, they organized this Little Mermaid, the Angry Mermaid Award, that in honor to the Little Mermaid, that's a very famous tale by Andersen. He's a Danish writer, and in honor to his tale, there is a statue of the Little Mermaid in Copenhagen. So these awards, the Angry Mermaid Awards, well, you can go to YouTube and watch the video. The Little Mermaid is angry at the corporations because of the lobby they are doing to avoid the emission reductions and, well, basically their obligations. So this award was to one of the corporations that has done the most or to lobby against the obligations that come from climate change. And the winner was Monsanto, the giant biotech company. And the interesting thing was that the award, the ceremony of the awards, I think was on the 15th or yesterday, I'm not sure. It was presented by Naomi Klein. Well, you know, she's a very famous journalist and writer, and she, one of her recent books, that was a bestseller, was The Shock Doctrine, where she explains all this, what the Washington Consensus means, and all this economic paradigm that Ronnie Hall was saying we should change. Well, she explains, for instance, why the southern countries become indebted to the northern countries as a result of these policies that were pushed during the Reagan and Thatcher era, for instance. So it was, I think it was an interesting thing that Naomi Klein ended up, giving the award to Monsanto. Unfortunately, Monsanto was not there to receive the award. And, well, these are some, well, things that you can see that the social organizations really are doing a lot of activities that are parallel to the COP. We hope to have more tomorrow, see what happens. There will be surely a declaration from the social movements and organizations that are at the Climate Forum. And, well, also we have to say that this is our last show of the year. We're not going to... You won't hear it from us until the next year, so we hope you'll start the new year better than this one. And, well, let's hope for better in terms of, well, at least in terms of climate, in terms of, well, food sovereignty, everything, all the things that we have talked here throughout the year. We will come back next year with much more. And, well, now we just hope that for this climate talks that, at least if there's not an agreement, that there is something to be learned by the world leaders and also by the general public. Because I think this whole events that are taking place in the Climate Forum are basically to raise awareness. And, well, I have to say goodbye to Mercedes and have a great trip because she's going to New York very soon.
I'm going to New York next week, and, well, I'll be spending there New Year's Eve. So, well, I hope all of you can, well, a little bit of what you were saying, that start next year better than this year. And, well.
Yeah, we hope all the best for everyone. And we're going to say goodbye now and with this song by The Clash that's about police repression. And all the songs chosen today had a little bit to do with that because of what happened in the demonstration. So until next year.
Until next year. Bye.
Goodbye.